Father, we thank you for the truth of your word that we're going to unpack this morning. But I realize that it cannot pierce our hearts and our minds unless your Holy Spirit comes and does a work before us. And so we come this morning and pray, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Stir in us. Give us hearts to hear and receive. Give us the faith and strength to respond. Jesus, this is in your name that we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this morning we're beginning a new sermon series that's going to take us throughout the fall up into Advent. And what I want to do with you this fall is cast vision for you on what I believe the Lord is calling us to really be about and embrace at St. Andrew's. And for some of you, this won't be new, but I really want to lay a foundation, though, for us on what it looks like for us to truly come and follow Jesus. I believe the mission that the Lord has called us to is that we would be a people who follows Jesus in such a way that the whole of our lives, not just one little piece over here, but that the whole of our lives would be reframed around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that can really be summed up in one word. It's the call of a disciple. It's what a disciple is. A disciple is one who follows another. And a disciple of Jesus is one who says, I'm going to follow you. But it's not just about saying, I'm going to follow you. It's saying, I'm going to follow you to the degree that I want you to change my life. I love how St. Paul put it to the church in Corinth when he said that we would be transformed from one degree of glory to another. Friends, that's the Lord's delight for his people, that we would be transformed more and more into the image of Jesus. And we do that as we follow him. And you'll hear me say, and you've heard us say this before, this term that we are disciples, right, followers, who are making disciples. Disciples making disciples. I believe that's the call of what it means to follow Jesus. That we follow him to the degree that we do what he did. And do you remember the call at the end of Matthew's gospel? That call to go and make disciples. And that's what a follower is. We follow him and we invite others to come along with us in that journey. And that's, in a sense, the foundation of how we're going to be entering into this fall series. And there's three main things that we're going to be looking at that we'll be touching at really beginning next week, but I just want to lay the foundation this morning. Three things that we find in the Gospels that Jesus really gave his life to. And as you read them, I think this will become clear to you, but I'm going to sum these up in three simple words, okay, that I think will be easy for us to grasp at first, okay? Here are the three words: up, in, and out. Okay, I want you to say those with me. Up. No. Y'all have been awake for longer than this. Come on. Up. There you go. In and out. Okay, let me tell you how that relates to the life of Jesus, right? When you think about up, we think about Jesus in this relationship that he had with his Father, this relationship that was upward, right? Jesus abided in his Father's presence, right? When he would get alone to pray, he would spend time with the Father. And so when we think about this idea of up, we're thinking about the call of Jesus that we would abide in Christ. And you see that so clearly in John's gospel that we're going to look at in a few weeks. But the up represents for you and me abiding in Christ. That's where it begins. And then the in. What's the in? The in is that Jesus lived in community, right? It's the whole idea of how we're called to live in community with each other. And what we find throughout Scripture is that Jesus first lived in community with the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in this glorious relationship of love, right? But we also see Jesus living in community with his disciples, with his followers, for that three-year period. And so what that means for you and me is as we see Jesus living in community, we see the call of our lives is to live in community with one another. And I like the phrase living in redemptive community. It's a gospel-centered community where the gospel shapes our lives as we live with one another, right? And then the third one is out. You know what that is? It's the outward mission of Jesus. And so when we think of that word out, we look at the life of Jesus, how he was always on mission. You see Jesus saying numerous times throughout the Gospels that he came not to do his will, but whose will? The Father's will. And when we think about this call of Jesus living on mission, he's living on mission that we would know the love of the Father, right? That's the mission. And that's the same mission that you and I are called to be about. And so what I want you to hear as we just begin it this morning in this series, that's what we're going to be looking at, that God is calling us into, that we would be a people who first abide in Christ, who secondly live in community with one another, and thirdly, who live on mission, Christ's mission. And we're going to unpack that in the weeks ahead this fall. But this morning, I want us to begin, I think, at the very beginning of what a disciple really is. A disciple is one who follows, right? A disciple is one who follows. A disciple is one who reorders their lives around the life of Jesus Christ. Now, if you think about it, we're all being formed into something, aren't we? We're either allowing the culture around us to form us in its image, or we're submitting ourselves to Jesus and allowing him to form us into his image. And that's what we're going to look at in this passage in Luke's gospel this morning in Luke chapter 5. So here are the two things we're going to unpack as we think about this whole idea of following Jesus. The first is this: what does the call to follow him really mean? Because in the passage, you heard it read a minute ago, he came up to Levi and he said what? Follow me. Well, what does that really mean? We're going to unpack that. Secondly, who is this one that we're invited to follow? If we're going to follow him, we need to understand who he is. And this passage gives us beautiful insight into the person and character of the Lord Jesus Christ. So first, let's step back and look at that first point. What does the call to follow Jesus really mean? If you can put the first couple of verses back up there, Brenda, verses 27 and 28. Here's what we read in Luke 5. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. It's the invitation that Jesus gives us to follow him. But as we look at that invitation, we have to understand something about ourselves. We're all following something, aren't we? Right? We're all following something or someone. And this invitation that Jesus gives is a call to recognize those things that we've been following and to turn and to follow the one who I believe is the only one who gives us life. You see, we follow someone or something because of what we perceive it will give us, don't we? Right? There's certain things that we hope when we follow something, and I'm going to give you some examples to make this clear in just a moment. But we follow those things in hopes that they will give us something that we're longing for. And we have to understand this about following as well. Whatever we follow shapes and forms our lives. Do you see that? Whatever we follow will ultimately shape and form our lives by the people that we spend time with, by the things that we pursue, by what we give our time to. Whatever we follow is going to form us into that. Now, let me give you a couple of examples or a few examples. The first one, it's not going to be something new to you. It's that term that people will say every now and then, "I'm just following the American dream," right? "I'm pursuing the American dream." And if you unpack, that means a lot of different things to a lot of people. But for me in college or right after college, pursuing the American dream was the pursuit of success and upward mobility. Now, I didn't go out and say I'm following the American dream. I just kind of knew it, and I just kind of got right into it. And so after college, I was in business, as were many of my friends, and I was watching them becoming very successful in business. And I was doing pretty well myself, too. And I remember stepping back and kind of looking at what all of our parents had, the life that they had built for themselves over 40 years of working hard, right? And we began to go, "Hey, I want that now. Like, I want that now." And I remember this stupid thing that I did is went out and bought a really nice SUV, a brand new SUV. And I thought, that's part of it, right? And I saw my friends buying new BMWs and Mercedes and things like that. And in a sense, what we were wanting was all of that now. Do you know why? Because it meant you were successful. It meant that you've arrived, right? And it's like we wanted that now, all of a sudden, to find that we were up to our ears in debt, right? That's the hold that pursuing something, following something, can ultimately give us. Does that make sense? That's just one example. There are a host of other things that we tend to follow. I would ask you this: how is what you're following on social media and TV shaping and forming your life? Have you ever thought about that? Because I'll guarantee you it is to various degrees, right? And for some of you ladies out there, you follow different fashion blogs, right? These blogs of these ladies that look incredible, right, with incredible clothes, and you go, I want that. And you haven't thought, is that really me? But you say, I want that because of what? The image, the identity that that will give you with other people. Do you see that? Do you see how following things begin to form and shape our lives when we give ourselves to them? And maybe for some in this room, it's following a set of religious practices to make yourself right with God, right? Don't raise your hand, but how many of us find ourselves in that place over and over again, trying to pursue these religious practices that as we do, that makes us right with God? It's exactly the work of the Pharisees that Jesus mentions in this passage we're going to look at briefly later on. Or for some, maybe it's the pursuit of following people to get their approval. You know, people-pleasing. And we can think, oh, that's not that big of a deal. But when you give yourselves, when I give myself to what other people think of me, the way that forms and shapes my life is all of a sudden I begin to become a chameleon. I'm one way with certain people. I'm another way with others because I'm craving what they can give me for identity. Does that make sense? Now, let me give you one more that I think touches a lot of us in this room. And, y'all, the reality is some of these things are not bad things. The problem is what we attach to them. Do you see that? And so here's one I want to mention: money, right? Money is something that we all have to varying degrees, and money is a good thing. And acquiring wealth is a good thing for some people when you use it properly, right? When you use it in a way to build God's kingdom and not your kingdom. When you use it in a way to care for those in need, recognizing that the Lord has cared for your needs. But it can also be very dangerous and formative in us, can't it? Because the pursuit of money can set us on a track to where we begin to give up things that we once valued, like family and time with friends, and we pour ourselves into a career because we want all that it promises, right? And it can form us into prideful people. It can form us into self-serving people, can't it? Into greedy people. The temptation with that is this: it's to seek to get our identity and our security out of what? Out of what we have, as opposed to what the Lord brings before us. So I want you to ask yourself the question this morning: who or what am I following? Who or what are you following? What are you investing your life in? What are you giving your time to? And I'd ask, is it really paying off? Is it really giving you what you thought it would give you? Oh, I know, when I was out of college, it gave me something for a while until I started realizing how much in debt I was, right? And thinking that is not the life I wanted to live, and that's not the life that Christ was calling me to live. But it's an important question for all of us to ask: how is what I am following forming and shaping my life? Am I being conformed more and more into the image of this culture? Or do I see my life being formed more and more into the image of Jesus? When I think about this, I can't help but remember the words that Jesus said in John 10:10. The enemy comes to do what? To steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it what? Abundantly, to the full. You see, the enemy comes and says, follow this, follow this, follow this. And we latch on to it, all of a sudden to find ourselves, no. What's happened is he's lured us into a way that's actually robbed us of life. And that's exactly where Levi found himself, though he didn't realize it until he came face to face with Jesus the Messiah. But look what happens here in verse 28. Jesus comes to him and says, follow me. And in verse 28, we read these words, and leaving everything, Levi rose and followed him. Here's the question. What does following Jesus require of you and me? Do you know what it requires? It requires leaving everything. Leaving everything. Does that mean you have to go quit your job? No. Unless he calls you to and he calls you to something else. But here's what I believe it means to leave everything. It means to let go of our allegiance to all of those things that we've been following. Does that make sense? Because when we follow something, we're giving our allegiance to it, trusting that it's going to give us something in return. And when Levi let go of everything, he was saying, no longer am I going to let all these things that I've been giving my life to bring me identity or security. I'm letting go. And what we see here is this. The posture of leaving everything is the posture of repentance. Do you see that? It's recognizing what we have been following other than the Lord and repenting of that and turning and following the one who alone can give you and me life. That's the call, friends, to follow Jesus. I don't know what he's going to call you to let go of, but what he's going to do if you don't is he's going to pry it out of your hands one way or another. Because he loves you that much, right? Now I want you to hear this. The call to follow Jesus is not just a one-time call. Yes, there's an initial call that Levi received, right? Follow me, come find life in me, is what Jesus was saying. And that's a decision that I believe we've got to come face to face with. And I'd ask you this morning, have you made that decision? Have you heard Jesus come to you and say, follow me? If you haven't responded to follow him, don't tune out the rest of this sermon because I want you to come and see who this one is who calls us to follow him. But for those of us who are following him, I believe it's a call that we need to hear every day where Jesus says over and over, follow me. He invites us to follow him. And that invitation is one to see every day and become aware of what are those things that I've been following instead of the Lord. Right? God, where are you calling me to repent and let go of those things that I've been following instead of you? And friends, I will tell you, that is hard. To obey that call is one of the most difficult acts of obedience. And it's a daily act, though. It's a daily recognition and struggle, but to come and let go. That's what I believe it means to follow Jesus. Now, here's what we have to see. Who is this one that we're invited to follow? And this is where I love this story, because when we understand it in its original context, it's absolutely shocking. I mean, it really is, if you really think about it, and I'm going to explain why. Because what you have is Levi, this Jewish man, sitting in a tax booth, so he's a tax collector. Well, knowing he's a tax collector, we know that he's a pretty wealthy man. But he earned his wealth dishonestly, right? By pocketing money from the taxes that people gave to pay the government, right? And so he's this man who's pretty wealthy. And all the tax collectors in that land were known as outcasts in the Jewish community. Because in a sense, they were thieves. They were lower class, if you will, okay? People of a higher standard did not associate with them. And here's what happens. Jesus, this righteous Jew, comes up to Levi in his tax booth. And I can't imagine what Levi's thinking as he approaches, because I'm certain that Levi had known of Jesus by now, because in the region, Jesus had been walking around and healing people in the area. And so surely Levi had gotten word of that. And he sees this righteous Jew coming up to him in his tax booth. And all of a sudden, the unexpected happens. Instead of condemning him for a life that he lived, what does he do? Jesus invites him to come and follow him. It's a word of saying, I know you, I know everything that you've done, and I want you to come and follow me. I want you to picture yourself in that tax booth for a minute. And you know everything that you've done. I don't know it. But you know it all. You know the things that you've thought, right? And Jesus walks up to you. And being the Son of God, he knows it all. And he looks at you and he says, come follow me. Friends, that's an invitation of love. That's an invitation of acceptance. Not to stay where you are, but to say, I see through that and I see you. And I love you and I have come to rescue you. That's the call, friends, that we have when we come to follow, to respond to that call to follow Jesus. In a sense, what Jesus is saying this, and Levi didn't understand it in its totality then, but we do on this side of the cross, right? When Jesus says, come and follow me, he's coming to say, look, come follow me. You know why? Because I'm the one who came to take your sin on the cross. I'm the one who came to take your shame and your guilt, all those things that you've closed away and shoved in that closet and locked up. I'm the one who came to unlock the door, to take it all on me on the cross, to die for you so that you can be forgiven. Well, not just forgiven, but cleansed, made righteous, made holy, reconciled to the Father, where you begin to find out what true love really is. Friends, that's all wrapped up in the message to come and follow me, says Jesus. I hope what you're beginning to see is a picture of this one who invites us to follow him. That he takes broken, sinful people and he makes us objects of his grace. That's the message in the words, come and follow me. And I love what happens next. So you heard Levi left everything and followed him. But look at verse 29. I love what he did. It says, Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them were there. I want to talk about this great feast. He wasn't just throwing a dinner party like you and I would often throw a dinner party. This great feast that he threw was fashioned after what would have been known in the day, this a Greco-Roman symposium. Now, here's what that evening would look like. It would be a wealthy man inviting people to his home. And as he invited people to his home, he invited an honored guest, someone who would come with great wisdom, someone who had a lot of knowledge on a particular subject, and they would sit around the table and talk and debate. And the guests would ask questions of the honored guests. That's what's taking place in this with Levi. And what's so amazing is that Jesus was there. And remember who he invited? All of the tax collectors, his friends who were just like him. Have you ever heard the term, who you spend time with tells a lot about a person? It's exactly what we find about Jesus in this scene. What does it tell us about Jesus? That he valued the outcast, that he valued the sinner, that he valued the people who recognized they didn't have it all together. And it's in this incredible evening, his friends are gathered and are able to ask Jesus questions and know that they weren't going to be judged or condemned. But they asked questions and Jesus engaged with them. Friends, just step back for a second. I want you to see what's happening here in this scene. It's an invitation for you and me to go and do the same. Part of following Jesus, right, is doing the things that Jesus did. And I love what he did, what Levi did. He threw a party and invited his friends. Do you know an opportunity that you have to do that? It's called Alpha. You've heard us talk about Alpha. Some of you have experienced Alpha. Alpha is a place to come around a meal with your friends with questions about life, questions about Christianity. Where are you? Help me understand these things. Are with people who will help answer and engage in those questions. So I want to just step back for a second and invite you into that, to invite you to Alpha, to invite you to pray about who God might be calling you to invite to an evening this fall, to a series of evenings, to invite your friends to come and experience what these tax collectors experienced, right? The freedom to ask and not be judged and not be condemned, but welcome to bring your questions around the one who is the true author and giver of life. It's a piece of what I believe is happening there and that we get to follow as well. Okay, let me take you back to the scene real quick as we wrap this up. So there's this banquet going on. Jesus is there with all these tax collectors. He welcomes them into his presence. But there were some other people there who didn't like what was going on. You know who they were? They were the Pharisees. They were the religious folk of the day, right? Now look at what Jesus had to say about this, verses 30 and 30 through 32. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" They were indignant that Jesus was actually with people like that, right? And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I want you to see the reality is this, friends. There is no one who is righteous. There is no one righteous. We are all on level ground. The religious folk of the day, the religious of our day, the religious here in this room, who think that I am not as bad as someone else, well, you really are. Because sin covers all of us, and it doesn't matter what you've done. There is no scale on that. Sin is sin. But the righteous of the day did not see their need. But they still had a need. They were just covering it up by all their good acts. And Jesus confronts them with the reality. I haven't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Here's the reality. The call to follow Jesus is the same call for the irreligious and the religious. It's the call to let go of everything else that you have been following. All these counterfeits, it's the call to let go of the counterfeits and then to come and embrace the one who says, "Come and follow me, and I will give you my life in exchange, and you will find life forever." Friends, that's the call of the gospel. And the question for us this morning is, how will we respond? How will you respond to the call to come and follow me? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this incredible passage, this incredible scene where we see your love being displayed in a glorious way by sending your son to people who are broken and needy. And though many of us don't like to see ourselves that way, I pray that you come break in, that you would show us our need and show us the glorious privilege of what it looks like to truly surrender and follow you. And so I pray, come Holy Spirit, as I began this message with those words, I end it with those words. Come and do your restoring and redeeming work among us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.